Greetings in the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Overcomers.ca, the New Jerusalem, in the section about the paradise of the Lord, chapter 53, Preparations of the Heart, Scriptures. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation 22:1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 6. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. But by whom may the day of his coming be faced? And who may keep his place when he is seen? For he is like the metal tester's fire, and the cleaner's soap. He will take his seat, testing and cleaning the sons of Levi, burning away the evil from them as the gold and silver, so that they may make offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days gone by, and as in past years. And I will come near to you for judging. I will quickly be a witness against the wonder workers, against those who have been untrue in married life, against those who take false oaths, against those who keep back from the servant his payment, and who are hard on the widow and the child without a father, who do not give his rights to the man from a strange country, and have no fear of me, says the Lord of armies. For I am the Lord, I am unchanged. And so you, O sons of Jacob, have not been cut off. From the days of your fathers you have been turned away from my rules and have not kept them. Come back to me, and I will come back to you, says the Lord of armies. But you say, how are we to come back? Will a man keep back from God what is right? But you have kept back what is mine. But you say, what have we kept back from you? Tenths and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have kept back from me what is mine, even all this nation. Let your tenths come into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and put me to the test by doing so, says the Lord of armies. And see if I do not make the windows of heaven open, and send down such a blessing on you that there is no room for it. And on your account I will keep back the locusts from wasting the fruits of your land, and the fruit of your vine will not be dropped on the field before its time, says the Lord of armies. And you will be named happy by all nations, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of armies. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 12. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I saw then from the outside of the city the flowing river of the waters of life, coursing from below the legs and the base of the paved work wherein the throne was set. As I stood upon this place on the outside of the walls of the city, I saw that the waters were the only thing from within the city that flowed to the earth and to creation in such abundance. But the thing I saw which amazed me was that the waters did not flow as would normal waters upon the natural creation. The scriptures declare that the waters flow forth out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. However, I saw that the waters flowed in two directions at once. Not only did they flow out from the Lord, but they also flowed back unto the Lord. These waters had their source in the Lord, but also returned back unto the source from whence they came. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters, and these waters in time returned back unto him, not to refresh him or encourage him as would a pilgrim in the earth, but to bring back a fruitful harvest, a nourished people, a creation fully recompensed and restored. For in the coming back of the waters of this river of life came also the fulfilled redemption that Christ wrought for all men in all dimensions of time, and no one was exempted from taking part in the living waters that flowed out, then flowed back in perfect succession, even unto the throne of God and of the Lamb. End vision. Second vision. The overcomers were standing upon the earth, and gross amounts of flesh and of carnality was arising within them, up through the center of their beings, flowing upwards, were darkened areas of iniquity and carnality. Beneath all of this upward flowing of the filth of the flesh was the fire of the Lord, stoked seven times hotter, prodded and poked with a fire poker by the Lord himself, who by his Spirit provided the flames, and by his judgments fed flesh and carnality as fuel for this raging fire. The fire rose hotter and hotter as time went by in the lives of they who would overcome to inherit all things. Instead of the sweet gentleness of joy and peace, they would desire carnality. I'll read that again. Instead of the sweet gentleness of joy and peace, they would desire carnality, flesh, and the despised nature which was fallen and iniquitous was seen. The Lord was boiling all of it by his fire to the surface and into the heads of these who were thus under the torch of his flame. At the same time, however, below the fire flowed upwards the bright springs of living waters. So as the fire burned, so did the water flow. And the fires and the waters of the Lord flowed together in the lives of they that overcame, so that their lives were not in total futility in this hour of the judgment that the Lord is bringing to those who overcome. The living waters were prophesied by Jesus to flow out of the bellies of the believers. However, this flow was not yet happening in fullness until the gross darkness of the flesh and carnality was completely burned to the top in the lives of all these who endured such judgments against them. And vision. And both visions. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fount of living waters. He alone is that one who will flow forth in such abundance to assuage the dearth that covers the earth, and to nullify and to discomfit all that has fallen away from the source of life that He alone is. He is that resurrection, that life, which will in time deplete all that abides in death in this natural created sphere of the earth, and in time through the very expanse of the cosmos. For all that was created and seen with the natural eye will also experience the flow of the waters of life, who is Jesus Himself. Know this, dear overcomer, that this fount is in you. It is a flowing fount that cannot be stopped. However, there was also in you, at this time, another area which I wish to address. And that is that if you were called to overcome all things, to inherit all things, and to rule and reign with the Lord as part of His army, then at this present time, you will indeed feel very far removed from anything that even resembles pure victory in Jesus. At this time, if you are indeed honest with yourself, you will note that there is more flesh, more carnality, and more personal self-doubt than ever before in your life. Instead of finding yourself poised to reveal holiness in all aspects of your life in this world, you will find yourself overcome with carnal thoughts, thoughts of self-preservation and grief over your very life in this world as it is in this very hour. Instead of being this candle lighted brightly so that all in the house may see, you are indeed overcome with the sense of your own carnal reasonings and your own iniquity, which seems to be at the forefront of your life. Footnote: iniquity means self-will. End footnote. To read the words of the Lord who said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water," seems like something that you never know or experience. In reality, what is in front of your face is your own sense of failure, your own sense of falling far short of what the Lord demands of you in perfection. Instead of thinking with the mind of Christ, you are having carnal thoughts, thoughts concerning the world and the problems in it, thoughts that are far removed from the kingdom of God and of His sovereign power and reign, thoughts that to you become nearly impossible to rein in and to bring into subjection. So at this present time, both the iniquitous nature, which Christ died to redeem you from, and the carnal mind, which is at enmity against God, are at your very forefront. Again, so at this present time, both the iniquitous nature, that's the first one, which Christ died to redeem you from, and the carnal mind, the second one, which is at enmity against God, are at your forefront. That is the place of the true conquerors right now. They seem more defeated than conquering. This scene does not fit the deceived. The deceived have no problem getting new revelation. They have no problem understanding their magnificence in Christ. Nothing bars them from entering into the greater things. There is a flowing of spirit, one to the other, who are equally fallen into this snare, and all the while they are thinking that they are walking in a present motion of the Spirit of the Lord. In the deceived, there is nothing more to be done or added to them. The "it is finished" words of Jesus did it all. Nothing is to be practically worked out or put down, as this has been given to them freely, and therefore they can believe as they will, for it is all God. So then, contrast the true overcomer to the deceived son or daughter of God. The true overcomer is faced with a war that is within their own person. The true overcomer has Christ buried in them, awaiting resurrection. The true overcomer does not find it easy at all to come past their own carnal thinking or their own fleshly lusts. Instead of feeling that they are being groomed for rulership, they feel buried by their own failure. The deceived son or daughter of God has no problem this way. Christ is everywhere in everybody, so there is no effort to reveal or manifest the Christ, because he is already all things in all men, so there is nothing more to be added. Note, dear reader, this very subtle difference. See it for what it is. When one is in a state of deception, they think that there is nothing more to be added to their lives. When one is honest with the Lord, they are in repentance and are seeking for his full promise yet to be. As we enter the paradise of the Lord, the first thing we see coming out of that paradise is the river of the waters of life, the flowing Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ unto mankind whom he redeemed. It is his very promise we hold to, that out of our bellies this river of life would flow unabated, also that our thirst would be eternally quenched by drinking of those waters. We have drunk of the salvation of the Lord, and our thirst that way is quenched. But be honest, you are not yet satisfied. Why is that? Because you still wrestle with flesh. The whole design of the New Jerusalem has a twofold purpose. First, to reveal the holiness of the Lord and his kingdom. And secondly, to show you how far short of that holiness you truly are. Would you like to hear those 2 points again? First, to reveal the holiness of the Lord and his kingdom. And second, to show you how far short of that holiness you truly are. If you are deceived, if you are deceived. If you are deceived, you will not know of this shortfall. If you are a conqueror in Christ, you will know that the more forward your walk in overcoming, the further you have yet to travel. In all honesty, I see that there are only but a very few who are truly overcoming in this hour. The rest seem to be buried in deception and in the malady of not perceiving that their flesh is waylaying their forward progress. We are not yet done this walk. We have yet a mile to go. There is yet in front of each true overcomer the need to cast down all thoughts and bring all thoughts into obedience unto the Lord in us. Casting down every vain imagination. Let me show you that verse and break it down the way the Lord has given it to me. Here's that verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. This is the gist of they that face their own flesh, that face their own lack of holiness and a superabundance of their own carnality, that we have the weapons of our warfare, the word of the Lord, and that we resist with all authority these things which combine themselves with the minions of hell to dissuade our walk. These are things we do in spirit. Practically speaking, they are things we do in the faith of God to denounce and to mortify. Mortify means kill. That which is so offensive in ourselves. To see these waters of life of his kingdom flow in you, the clump of earth called your own carnality needs to come under the flow of this river which is in you. This flowing river of the waters of life has to overpower and overcome the carnal thinking mind. For the very first thing that happens to you when you come before the Lord is that your carnal thinking mind brings up images of that which at the present moment is a trial to you. Those things which you have no answer for becomes to you areas of false conviction and guilt. Because of small things, things unanswered, your carnal mind soars and takes away your heart and conscious thoughts from waiting on the Lord. These vain images then sprout up quickly in your thinking, and you imagine what is or is not taking place in the circumstances affecting your life. These are the things you must cast down. How do we cast down these vain imaginings? By confessing the love of God that is in us, that the Lord does not hold us accountable for circumstances beyond our control. He sits as a refiner in this time to boil these carnal thoughts to the surface. It is not just the overcomer who has this fire stoked in them, but mankind in general, and even the deceived sons and daughters. They, too, have the fire stoked in them, and carnality rises. This carnality is then seen for what it is by the overcomer. But for those who do not discern it, that very carnality becomes a religious effort. You get it? The overcomer sees it as carnality. But for those who don't discern it, that carnality becomes religious effort. It becomes a false Christ, an antichrist in them, which causes them to lose their true single vision of the Lord. Footnote in here. We have a description and revelation of the two beasts, the main beast and the lesser beast. The main beast, I believe, is the carnal Adamic nature in mankind, and the lesser beast is the carnal Adamic nature in mankind in religious effort. End footnote. That is why there are so few that are overcoming and who will be part of the army of the Lord, because they are not able to get past the boiled up carnality. The Lord has ignited the earth in his fire. Only they that overcome are seeing it for what it is, that it is the dross of their life that is boiling to the surface. By obedience to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 6, they are casting down these vain imaginings and obeying the Lord to walk according to the life of Christ in them. When this is seen for what it is, the skimming bar of the Lord removes this carnality, which is the same as bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. If it is not seen for what it is, then deception is the result. Carnality continues to sprout up past the true knowledge of God, which is humility, and then the person exalts themselves beyond the true knowledge of God. The results are doctrines invented and revelations received, which exalt one to a status and a place in the Lord which is not true. These become elite in their lives and in their special place and calling. Was this not the sin of Lucifer? He awoke to find himself beautiful, and therefore he exalted himself to the throne of heaven. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. Such is the poor response of casting down vain imaginings and consulting with carnality as if it were the Lord. Hear this well, dear reader. We are coming to a place where in truth we will be a fount of living waters, that Christ will flow from us unabated. This will be, however, after the carnal darkness of your earthly mind is brought into captivity and obedience to the Spirit of the Lord in you. Believe this when I tell you that this captivity I speak of is the qualifying entrance into the gates of the city. Again, the captivity talking about every thought being brought into obedience of Christ. Believe this when I tell you that this captivity I speak of is the qualifying entrance into the gates of the city. It is obedience to rounding up, brackets, Armageddon, rounding up and casting down of these vain imaginings that will bring you into the street that is straight, that flows with a single gold paved work, transparent in holiness, even up to the very throne of God. You have read in the past in my writings that when the Lord comes and manifests his army in bodies glorified, that everything in the world will cease in 1 hour. Well, I wish to expand on that. Bear in mind what was just written before. This utter and total destruction of the world of men in 1 hour after the manifestation of the sons of God will be only in that which abides in death and carnality. All that fell in Adam is all that will cease in this 1 hour of time. The army of the Lord is not going to march forth, toppling skyscrapers and sinking bridges. They will remove the veil of death from the curse of the fall. The army of the Lord will remove the veil of death from the curse of the fall. Practically speaking, the will of men, which causes them to manifest personal iniquity, will be removed in that singular hour. This veil of death will cause men to not have a personal will, for it will be put upon them by the voice of him that speaks and utters his voice before his camp, for his camp is very great, few in numbers, but very great indeed. When the Lord manifests the camp of his overcomers, they will destroy all death from off of creation. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 7 and 8. This will happen at the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is truly a stage set. The actors are real overcomers, and the play is about to begin. Cast down your vain imaginings. The Lord is at hand, and he will flow unabated through you in a measure not seen in the world since Jesus walked the earth. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.